If you're a Mariners fan, the gentleman in our studio this morning needs no introduction. He means so much to the team and the community that the street that runs behind home plate at Safeco Field is named after him. Of course, I'm talking about Mr. Mariner, Hall of Famer, all-time hitting leader, Edgar Martinez. While Edgar has hung up his bat, he still plays a major league role in the community. Spike runs into him all the time doing charity work. He and his wife, Holly, work for MDA, the Children's Hospital, Make-A-Wish, and a number of other great organizations. Edgar has also recently launched Branded Solutions by Edgar Martinez, which is the next step in an embroidery and promotions company that puts logos on, I assume, on all sorts of things. And Edgar and Holly started this company over a decade ago. You can find out more about the products and services they offer for businesses and events at their website, BrandedSolutions.com. Edgar Martinez, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? It's a pleasure to be here today.
Very nice to have you, Mr. Mariner. And do that phrase always, do you enjoy that phrase?
Well, it's great. It's very, very rewarding, you know, playing for so many years with the team, the organization. It's, I never thought it was going to be that way, but
You didn't plan on being with the Mariners your whole career?
Well, I always wanted to play for the Mariners from the beginning. I came to the minor leagues, and for me, I thought that, well, playing with one team will be ideal.
Now, a lot of great players, and some of the ones we revere most, Griffey comes to mind, Randy Johnson, they did move on and take really big paychecks to go somewhere else. Or in Griffey's case, I think there was a family consideration there. Was it ever dangled to you that, like, big fat pile of cash. I mean, you're probably not about that, but I would be very tempted. Did you ever think about it?
Well, you know, there were occasions when there was talk about possibly being traded and going to other teams. I mean, it was always that new opportunity to maybe going to also being a free agent. But I think this has been a great community for me. My wife is from here. My kids go to school here. Basically, I form a life here in Seattle. But I think the fans, the people in the community, is not a price tag for the way they've been supporting me all these years.
You talk about trade talks. I mean, it's an inevitability when you're a successful hitter. And you trade deadline's coming up, and we just went through it for this year. Nothing really happened for the M's, but there's teams that need a bat like you, so they come to the Mariners and they say, we'll give you prospect here, there, boom, boom, boom.
They
boom.
Need you to win a pennant.
We need Edgar. Yeah. So it's got to be such a mixed emotion to know that somebody else thinks that you can be the difference all the way, and yet here's your team that might be willing to let you go. How do you wrestle that at night when you put your head on the pillow?
Yeah, there were some years that I thought about it. I'm like, okay, the trade deadline is approaching. It could be not opportunity. It could be the situation where I find myself getting traded. You go through, in your mind, go through different situations. What's going to happen if I go to, let's say, New York, or what happened if I go to Minnesota or something like that. But I think it's at some point you play all those situations in your mind. But for me, I always was hoping that the team that I play for want me there, and they see me as part of the future.
Well, you did spend the whole career here, and you set just about every hitting record we've got, Edgar, for the Mariners. I was wondering, when Ichiro re-signed with the team this year, did part of you as a Mariner fan go, oh, I'm glad he re-signed, but did you ever think about, man, that guy's going to probably wind up breaking some of these records before he's done?
No, I thought that it was great. I was hoping that Ichiro got signed, and it means so much for the team. Ichiro is, the way he's going, he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. He's going to be one of the most productive players in baseball. This guy is so consistent. And I think it benefit all of us just that he stays here, make the team one of the better team in the league. And I think everybody benefit from that, the community, all of us, I think.
We think you're a Hall of Famer, too. Do you ever give that much thought, or is that just if it happens, or is it something that you would actively say, yes, I hope that happens?
Well, yeah, I hope that happens. I haven't been thinking too much about it. Obviously, when somebody mentioned that possibility,
I brought it up. I shouldn't.
But you know,
it's said that an athlete in Seattle, especially one like you, spent his whole career in Seattle, wouldn't get the recognition he would have gotten had he taken the dough and gone to be a Yankee during a pennant race, or any number of other more prominent cities in the media. Yeah. And yet I think for loyalty, I think they should count for extra points personally.
Yeah, that would be great, but...
But no.
Yeah, we know that the writers have the strong hand there. They will make that decision, but, at the same time, I think it's an opportunity. I'm just thrilled and honored to just be mentioned that there is a possibility.
Well, I think you will, and I told these guys earlier, the reason I think so is I was there the night that you were honored with when they said they were going to name the street after you, and when the commissioner of baseball said from now on the award for the designated hitter will be the Edgar Martinez Award. So I think that Major League Baseball right there is acknowledging that, and I was also there when after all that happened, you ran around the entire Safeco Field. I was one of the hands you shook, one of the thousands. Now, I was wondering, is that the longest...
Kind of a grubby hand, you might actually remember it.
is that the longest you've had to run in a long time? I mean, doing that whole lap all the way around like that?
Yeah, that was a long lap for me. But, I mean, what a thrill was to connect with the fans that way. It was a very touching moment. I had many emotions going at that time. But it was a thrill just to go around and shake hands with many fans. It was just a thrill.
My wife and I vacationed in Puerto Rico one winter, and we didn't know this was going to happen, but we said, while we're here, let's go see some Puerto Rican baseball.
Actually, he said, while we're here, I'm going to go watch some baseball. You go ahead to the shop, lie on the beach, whatever you want to do. I'm going to watch some ball games.
So, and I went, and I'm trying to remember the name of the state. You'll probably remember.
It's Caguas you went to see,
it's
right?
Caguas. Thank you very much.
Caguas, yeah.
He remembers. And here it was, 1996. It was right after 95. And I'm looking on the field at some of the greatest all-stars of all time. Of course, several Mariners, you and Joey Cora was playing. I believe mm-hmm. that was his home area at the time. Some great baseball in the middle of the winter. $3 margaritas. I got the best seat, $6. And, and you even had a crazy woman fan who's up there dancing on the dugout. I mean, it was really pure, true baseball. And as I saw that, I had a real appreciation, especially for you, because you were playing first base. And you were working extremely hard, and yet I know that you don't have to. That you did it for, I imagine, several reasons. One, to work hard and be ready for the majors next spring, but also probably because you love your roots and where you come from.
Yeah, you mentioned some things that are true. You know, we always, I think it's along with, I'm talking from all the players in Puerto Rico, even if they played in the States, going and playing in Puerto Rico is special. Played in front of the fans is very special. At the same time, getting ready for the next year it was a reason I felt that when I played during the off season in Puerto Rico, I was one step ahead of everybody. I felt like
a little bit ahead of the people who took the winter off and went golfing.
Exactly.
And maybe let their physicality go a little bit.
Yeah, I felt that I was pretty much ready in spring training, there were some great years. 12, I think it was about 10 years that I played in Puerto Rico. I had a great time. I got ready for New Year in the majors, and I played in front of fans in Puerto Rico.
Is there a best Mariner time for you, and was it 95, or is there a time that was better than 95 for you?
Well, I have great memories. I think going to my first All-Star game in 92, that was very special. 95, the series against the Yankees, obviously was a highlight. But I think also going to playoffs with the Mariners, each playoff was very exciting and a highlight too.
The company you've got now, Edgar, I was actually one of your first customers, and I feel bad I didn't...
Did you buy the light bat that they sold a number of years ago at the hardware store?
No. And that was good. I was wondering because I have a fantasy football league, and it was just a very small order, but we had some custom hats made and some custom mugs that I have to this day. It was probably 12 years ago. I was looking on your website, and I was wondering about the lamp bat. Why aren't you selling those? Because I would buy a lamp bat if you had it on there.
People always remember that, right?
Yeah.
No, those were years ago, but our company is a full-service merchandise company now, promotional merchandise, and we pretty much provide all type of services to corporations. But, it's always been great to serve clients like you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was probably the smallest deal that ever was done. We had like 20 of each thing, but, you know, we're happy to design a logo and do it.
Hey, I'm curious. If I were like the cable installer at your house and you weren't home, would all the lamps be made of bats, and would I know I was in your house? But, you know, like the people who are, everything in the house is taxidermy. Is your house all baseball decorated, or is your wife like, no baseball in the living room?
No, we pretty much have all type of pictures, but it's mainly kids, family pictures around the house. I have one area where I have baseball, and it's, I have an office in the house that have... mementos from the years that I played, but the rest of the house is just family pictures and stuff like that.
The boss makes those
calls. Yes, she does.
Hey, Edgar, I'd like to help with the marketing of your company, Branded Solutions, by perhaps suggesting a new nickname for you, maybe business cards. That I'm seeing the Sultan of Swag. What do you think?
Sounds good. Sounds great.
Right.
When you started this company, you mean with your career and your popularity, you must have been approached to be the spokesman. I know you did a lot of endorsements during your career. Did anybody ever come up to you for the Edgar Martini? I mean, that seems like such a natural these days. I mean, because I know your image, you got a family image to protect. Yeah. Is that why you started your company? No, there's a right way to do marketing.
The Martini side of it, I don't know. Luckily, nobody has.
Nobody has, just you.
And you sell them for your batting average, which means they're overpriced.
Yeah. A couple of serious baseball questions. You must love watching the M's now. How often do you go to a game? Occasionally or fairly regularly?
Occasionally. The last few years have been kind of busy. So I've been going like 3 or 4 times a year. I think the time when I used to be in the stadium playing, now is I'm working part of that time, and the rest I come home to, the kids. My kids start very young, still very young. So I spend the time at home, and that's basically why I only been there just a few times.
Question, serious question. If you were the commissioner of baseball, would you go to Barry Bonds games, and would you stand when he breaks that home run record?
Well, I think it's baseball, I think it's something that we love the game of baseball. Whoever, it doesn't matter if it's Barry Bonds or who's there. We go to watch baseball, and this time it's unfortunate that is so much going on around Barry, but. This is baseball, and hopefully this just blow away.
When Mike Hargrove announced very abruptly that he was, for lack of a better word, burned out of the game, had lost his passion for the game of baseball, and even though the team at the time was red hot, there were like 9 or 10 games when he made this announcement, that he said the team deserved better. Did you see that coming at all, or was that completely blindsided like the rest of us were?
Yeah, I was blindsided too. I never expected that. I don't know much about what happened, and I think it's he was a great manager for the team and for baseball, but it's kind of sad to see it happen. But the team is doing great right now, so
Edgar, I've always wondered, how important is a manager? Because I look at the rosters of baseball teams today, and they're full of amazing players, you certainly being one of them. If something like that happened in the middle of the season when you were playing...
95, say.
Yeah, exactly. What
how
do you
important
think,
would that have been?
Exactly.
Well, you know, it's very tough for a player to take. When you're playing good, you have a chance to go to the playoff, and the leader, I mean, a manager is a leader and the big decision maker in the team. It's very difficult to take it. But you know, there are also, when you have players that are veteran and they can move forward, they can still do well in the season.
Edgar, we're going to put up a link to your company, so anybody who has any interest from any company listening will get a chance to chat with you and work on branded solutions. And I got to ask this, too, as we say goodbye to Edgar Martinez. Mr. Mariner, you obviously must do this company because there's something about it you love. Is it a desire and need to keep working and doing something creative? Or is it because your kids are young and you want them to grow up with a dad who's a, sort of a role model for work? Or is it just that you've always had that work ethic in you and you have to keep working? Because I know that Joe, for example, if he was retiring as Edgar Martinez, he would
never get the stand
out of my
toes.
He would buy the biggest big screen TV they make.
Yeah. I would watch a lot of Mariner games.
And he would go every day, yeah.
Yeah, I think when I retired, I knew, still young, I had this company that I had in the back of my mind. I want to go back to it, and I did. I went back to it and wanted to feel productive, and also make a contribution with the community, which is the big part. I wanted to contribute in this community, but also my kids, you know, like you mentioned, be an example. I don't think it's a good example to just sit at home and play golf the whole time. I wanted to...
I love the honesty there, man.
Yeah. I think it was, for me, my kids, it was a great thing to do, go to and be an example.
Edgar Martinez, Mr. Mariner, and owner of Branded Solutions by Edgar Martinez. We'll link to it at bobrivers.com. Edgar, be well, and in the words of Niehauser, thanks for the visit.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
Take care. I think pop stars have always been somewhat manufactured, not so much, you know, going against the grain, not a lot of individuality necessarily, just somebody who shines doing something that's very mass appeal and, you know, on the surface very safe.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are blessed with an incredible amount of some sort of talent or looks or pitch correction in the studio, it doesn't matter.
Well, country music is a great example. They can make a star. You know, give me a minimal amount of talent and they'll think a great songwriting.
Oh,
game.
I would totally disagree with that.
Well,
That's your country prejudice. I've been listening to country music lately.
And it's all
just
all
like I've been watching music. Jerry Springer, I haven't been telling people.
Yeah, it's when you want to put
country music these days. I hate to say it, country music is the rock and roll of this time. It's way more gutsy and way more honest.
I so disagree. Good
you disagree,
band,
but you don't listen.
I do listen, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I do. Country music, all good country music could be done by the same band. One band. One band. Do you think I'm lying? One band could play every song on that station next door.
Like which songs? Like what songs are you talking about?
You know, she thinks my tractor is sexy.
Okay, that's from like 12 years ago.
See,
think of something a little
It's more like seven.
Spike Forms opinions.
You must know. Okay? You know, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. Which
seriously.
It should have stopped at bumper stickers.
He's singing the karaoke hits.
Okay? Yeah, he's taking the country karaoke novelty songs and judging the whole genre.
Kelly Pickler, I should say, finished what on American Idol?
Seventh? What's the name
She's a star in country
what's
music.
What's the name of
what's
Damon Johnson's band, by the way?
Anybody could do it. Dave Johnson's band?
Yeah, Damon Johnson.
Whiskey Falls.
Whiskey Falls. Yeah. Have you heard Whiskey Falls?
I haven't.
Okay.
Here's a guy who failed out of rock and roll, but he's got himself a big country act. Is that what you're telling me? Right?
Just like.
A couple of the lesser Van Zants who couldn't even make it to Skinner, you know, to be the Skinner Van Zant.
Well, it turns out that some people who worked very hard at rock and roll and found an unreceptive, bored, uninterested audience turned out to be able to make great country records,
right,
and really rocking.
Because the bar was so much lower in country. Minimal talent in rock and roll will get you star status.
I'm with Spike. Just like rock and roll, the best country music was made in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah. Nashville sound now is something.
Let me put it this way.
Your opinion means nothing.
Clearly.
If you look at concert grosses, artist loyalty.
Oh yeah, Kenny Chesney, they're huge.
Tim McGraw, Faith Hill.
They're drawn huge.
Carrie Underwood.
Go ahead, Mike, help me out here, because you actually listen to country music more than I do.
I'm just dabbling in it. And there's great stuff in there. And yeah, some artists, like you mentioned, fall through the cracks of contemporary rock radio, like Bon Jovi, big on the country charts now. And a lot of these artists,
I rest my case.
Like Carrie Underwood.
Thank you for making my point.
Well, thank you for resting it.
Carrie Underwood crossing over to the pop chart. She's gigantic, huge star.
I'm not saying they're not huge stars. I'm not saying they don't have huge followings and draw amazing crowds making record amounts of money. I'm saying you can take one good band. I'll say what I said before, and I've said it many times. Yeah, good band could play every song over there on that station.
Says the singer for a
dude. You know, he ain't building the whole radio racket or whole industry on the Impaler genre. Okay.
Well,
I know my place.
I want to see some country songs whipped up by Spike and the Impalers.
We could do some country songs. Dude, come on.
At the end of my life, when I take that journey all alone. And I'm on my own, and there's no one there to save me. Oh, when I look back at all the things that I've done wrong, you know I wasn't always strong. Lord, will you take me?
An old friend of the show, Damon Johnson, who was in the band Whiskey Falls there, and he was the lead singer of Brother Kane, you may recall.
Oh, yeah, they were a great band.
Amazing guitar. See, Spike can't appreciate the subtleties of incredible playing because he doesn't get subtlety.
How do you get to that conclusion, by the way?
Well, because you say any band could play any country song.
Play any other country song and tell me the band isn't identical to that. I'm not saying it's not a good voice, it's not a good guitar, but I'm not saying any of those. I'm not knocking the music. I'm saying
it's unoriginal.
Again,
it's so generic.
It's a little too subtle for you.
Well,
okay,
you're both right.
You don't have the right nose ring and the right haircut. They don't look different to you.
Okay.
The best pickers around are in Nashville, but they do all sound very similar. They all play a similar brand of music. But the best studio musicians, the best guitar players you're going to hear are those guys down there playing these country records.
They're amazing.
Play Tim McGraw's latest record. Tell me if the band isn't identical to that.
Okay.
Please.
Tim McGraw.
Let me get some here, Han.
You can't do that to Eric. You've got to give him a little notice.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
No, but what you're doing amounts to the same as classifying people by race. It's like saying, oh, they all eat watermelon, or oh, they all like to take pictures with cameras. Unless you have some appreciation for the culture, anything that's strange to you.
Designer boots and a hat. You know, anybody can be country.
I think all country is the same. I love that. Here we go. Tim McGraw, this is way different.
Pick a song that's all strings and a ring.
Pick a song that sounds the same.
Dude, come on, please. Because this is such a standard country song, Eric. Whatever.
Well, that's one of the things about country these days, is they have managed to co-opt most styles of music and include it into country. There's a broad variety. And this is not just different. I know what you're saying. Country used to all be twang. It's
one
not
good
so
band,
much all
one
twang.
Good band could play every song on that station.
Most of the next days, looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about...
What happened to the violin player in The Killers? Did he die of an overdose?
Rock and roll, different beast. Diversity.
I'm sorry, the Beatles had violin players.
Sure, at points of their career.
The big points, the successful points.
Some might argue that the early records were a bit successful, too. You know,
the Killers may get a violin player when they, you know, mature a little more into their sound. You never know.
Yeah. All right. Spike says all country songs sound the same.
Who's this one?
Who is this?
Brad Paisley. Yeah. Love Brad Paisley.
It's not Big and Rich, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, because it's the same crap.
You only know two song titles, don't you, from the last 10 years?
Whatever.
Every time you take a sip, and
this smoky atmosphere. You press that bottle to your lips, and I wish I was your...
Look, I know this. Yeah. I know one thing for certain, that our program director is going to be pissed that we're talking about how good country music
well,
is. Well,
that's
right
not what I'm saying. He'll be pissing me.
Yeah, you put me on Spike's side. That is bad.
It's
you
okay
hate that.
To not like that's it. Bad. You can not like it. It was just funny that it was like, well, I don't like it, and therefore it all sounds the same, and it sucks.
Well, I never said I didn't like it, guys. Never once.
So you like it?
Yeah, I think it's good stuff. I'm just saying. Any one band, and I'll say it. Confused. I'll say it a seventh time, so maybe you guys will hear what I'm saying.
But
instead of hearing what you want to hear, okay? It's good stuff. It's well produced. It's insanely popular. It makes every good-looking girl in blue jeans with a tight ass goes to a country show. I wish the crowds at Ozfest looked half as doable as any country show that comes to town. My point being that every band sounds identical in country music. One good cover band could do every song on that radio station next door. And that's all I've ever said.
And we wish you'd say something else. Well,
you guys,
branch
you guys,
out a little bit.
So far you've said I got
he's locked into one sentence, and that's what he's...
You call me a bigot. You say I have no taste in music. I don't know what I'm talking about. You've said that I don't like music at all. You've said all these things that I never said.
Well, I got your back. That is bad stuff.
How is that bad, Joe? That Tix is a great song, great story, great sense of humor. Brad Paisley is awesome.
No,
let's talk about Joe's wife or something.
Is your wife like country? Most women do.
She probably does without, you know, gloating about it in front of me. I'm sure she listens a little, but not really. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like talented country artists. Alison Krauss and Union Station, Nickel Creek. I like bands that actually play their instruments in the songs.
A little more bluegrass.
Yeah, that don't all sound the same. And I also was raised on Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson and... You know, and all the greats. There are some great country artists out there, but this commercial, I'm with Spike. You know
cookie
that
cutter country, man.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, there are a lot of songs in every genre that sound identical. You look at Heart had a song. Listen to Your Heart and What About Love are two songs that were in the early '80s that sound exactly alike. They're the same notes. They're by two different bands, and you didn't hear people bitching about how all.
Yeah. And I'll grant you that in any successful genre. Mm-hmm. It starts to sound cookie cutter to people, and eventually it does become cookie cutter because everybody chases the money. That happened to rock and roll in the arena rock and the corporate rock eras a bit, and you don't hear a lot of that stuff coming back. I mean, you don't bring a lot of. I'm trying to think of the bands. You know, Night Ranger. Just like.
Please.
You don't put a Night Ranger album next to a Led Zeppelin album and say they're the same thing, right?
Right.
Right, but Night Ranger and Hootie and those guys still get fair gigs. I mean, you're still motoring down there to the
motoring.
Fair.
Motoring!
To the King County Fair!
Yeah. Right. So country will, you know, it'll have songs that'll go along with any argument you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's pretty darn hot, and boy, the concerts.
Name any drummer from any country band, anyone. Anyone. Any band.
I can't even name drummers from rock bands, except the dead ones. I know all the dead ones.
Okay.
The audience wants to get involved in this discussion. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, Spike.
Yes, sir?
Yes, sir?
I think you should listen to some Alan Jackson with some steel guitar in it, because I don't think a rock band can pump out the steel guitar like a country band can.
I'm not saying it's not good steel guitar, dude, okay? Everybody's telling me that I'm down on this music. I'm just saying... Alan Jackson's band could be fronted by Brad Paisley, could be fronted by Kenny Chesney, could be fronted by Tim McGraw, and nobody would know an apple's difference.
I beg to differ.
Yeah. His voice, Alan Jackson's voice, is great. Great songwriter, sure.
You were saying any rock band could play a country band.
Who's Alan Jackson's steel guitar player?
I don't happen to know who that is.
See, nobody knows who anybody is.
I don't happen to know who it is, but I know he's really good.
Who's right. Led Zeppelin's lead guitar player?
Led Zeppelin's lead guitar player. Go ahead.
Hello?
Do you know who Led Zeppelin's lead guitar player is? Let's see how adept, what depth he has at rock and roll. Justin?
How about...
Yeah,
my point...
The depth was
he
lacking
knew.
In cell phone coverage, yeah. But you get the point.
What Spike's saying is it's a...
Yeah.
It's an anonymous kind of music. It is. It's just you can put any star in front of that.
That's what I'm saying.
Matt will back you up. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. Hey, hi.
Yeah.
You guys pretty much just made my point. That's what I was going to say was you basically have a frontline guy and a bunch of excellent studio musicians, but nobody can probably name who they are unless you're a rabid fan. But you take a rock and roll band and you know who they are. You know who replaced Brian Jones, who replaced, you know.
Each time one of them dies, you know who replaced the new guy.
That's right.
It's like Darren on Bewitched.
Dude.
What I mean is you know the changes in the band. I mean, in a country group, it changes as who's available.
Well, Joe, you're a big Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson fan. Can you name a drummer for those guys or a steel guitar player, fiddle player, maybe?
Skeets McGee was the drummer on the Outlaws album. Ooh. No, I don't know. I'm only kidding.
He just made it up. But you know what? We all would have bought it.
Skeets McGee. Well done, Joe. Nice step. Skeets McGee for 200.
Yeah. I do know the Outlaws was Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Jesse Coulter. I mean, I know
Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, some of those.
Anyway, we're not worried because it's clear that classic rock is still the greatest music ever recorded up to this point in the history of society.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing that compares with classic rock is probably classical music. The great, I think you have to go back to the 1400s, the best hits of the 1400s, 1500s, and 1600s.
Oh, man, Eddie, one good symphony can play all that crap.
You know, there like should
Bach,
be a station.
Beethoven, Strauss, good symphony can play all one. They got a different front guy with a wig on, no matter who it is. One good symphony. No.
Some guy with a baton.
Right, come on. Please.
And
Arthur Fiedler. What a clown.
Classic country is a lot better than what they got now. They're not making any more Johnny Cashes and Willie Nelsons.
So that's where I differ with you.
They're too busy squeezing this month's flavor into a tight pair of jeans, and they are fun to look at with the mute button on, trust me.
Actually, it's classical music is the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s. Really.
60s, 70s, and 80s. Whatever. The joke was the joke worked. Is that the way to do that joke?
Yeah.
The best hits of the 1600s. Could you imagine if a classical station got like bumpers and jingles, and you know, if King went with the whole big disc jockey sound and pumped it out that way.
The best is the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s, and today. Go to battle for the brand.
No, the end today would be if they played Paul McCartney's classical piece, which sucked, by the way.
Sucked.
Paul, that was the pinnacle of Paul's career when he knew he had to do something, and he hadn't, you know, he hadn't had a hit in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, his albums aren't really hits these days. They make money.
They're good. They're not hits. They're good.
We'll get to that. But Paul decided, remember that? He decided he was going to write a symphony.
Yeah.
And it landed. It was a big deal at the time. He thought, maybe I am, and I suppose he thought this, I don't know for sure, but if I was Paul, I would have thought, maybe I am as good as Bach, Mozart. I am the Mozart of my time.
Well, so people keep telling me, you're like Beethoven with money.
It was only about a year ago, too, that he did that.
I think it's four or five years ago.
Year or two.
Look it up. When did Paul McCartney do his symphony?
He emailed me about it. I know.
He emailed you because you signed up at Starbucks.
Joe,
exactly.
Joe money.
It wasn't that long ago.
A nasty divorce to pay for, Joe. How about doing my symphony?
All right, we'll take a couple calls from listeners about this country thing, and then we'll play you a Paul McCartney trying to do a classical piece. Paul in Olympia, go ahead.
Can you name any rock star that has over 50 number one hits like George Strait has?
No.
Okay, why would I need to do that to prove my point? How would that prove my point that George, can you name one person in George Strait's band of over 50 straight number
Spike
one hits?
Spike's saying basically that they all sound alike and that there's a whole group of lemmings that like country music, and therefore the fact that they all sound alike is why they keep buying it and make 50 number one hits for the guy. So that's his point, is he doesn't get the subtle differences. He thinks that they all sound the same.
You know, I listen to rock, I listen to country. I think you got to be well-rounded in all your music.
And the reason the country music sells so well is because they haven't figured out how to steal it yet. They've still got to go.
Country people don't know how to use computers.
Yeah,
are you serious?
They got a fancy yippit. I don't get one.
They got to go to Walmart and buy it the old-fashioned way.
You keep rapping. I'm a watermelon man myself.
Well, maybe they just live longer than the rockers.
That's true too, man.
All right, and Ken and Blaine, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you guys make comment about there are no more Willie Nelsons or Johnny Cashes. What about Toby Keith? Unique in his own way.
You know, I got to say, I saw Toby Keith play in Texas one time, and I do have a soft spot for him. I think he's probably a guy who will endure and be around for a long time.
All right.
say somebody's been shot, somebody's been abused.
All right. Am I right? Are you coming up empty-handed? You can't find Paul McCartney's symphony?
Well, it came out in 2000, and it's not on my usual source. I'm sure I can find it somewhere, so I'm going to keep looking.
That's got to bum Paul out.
Well, it's not on iTunes.
Well, I thought I bought that company. Load up my symphony. You can't buy it. You can probably pop across a Starbucks and buy a copy of it before we could find it on the internet.
Didn't seem like it was that long ago that it came out.
2000. Yeah.
Actually, it was 06. There was another one he did for Linda in 2000.
He did two symphonies?
Yeah.
His major...
He thinks, you know what he's thinking now? After I die, they'll figure out how good it was.
Well, I can just get to the fifth one. The fifth one, that's the jewel.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy's fifth.
His major work. The whole album. That was last year. It was just last year.
You could have Paul write the symphony. All he's got to do is steal the Beatles hooks, actually. Right?
And symphony them up. Isn't that what they did?
They take yesterday. Dun, dun, dun. We can adapt it better than he does. Jerry Springer's primary talent is constantly reinventing himself. His most recent evolution has him hosting the hit NBC series America's Got Talent. Through the years, Jerry has been a mayor, a lawyer, a newscaster, a country recording artist. I missed that. A movie star.
Two best-selling CDs from Nashville.
A Broadway star, a ballroom dancer, a talk radio fixture, and, of course, a television talk show host you most know him for. In all of those gigs, the camera and the people have loved Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer, welcome back to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. Life is good. I'm lucky.
Mike Jones, our producer, says this is the easiest gig you've ever had because you look at the people, you say, you're great, and then when they come back after performing, you say, how do you think you did? And then that's it.
Yeah, well, on my regular show, all I do is say, you did what? Come on out. Not a tough life.
You made a good living at it. I commend
you.
Yeah,
well, no, now it's, now we're down to the final 10, so these last few shows, I'm on stage the whole time, and so, you know, there's a little more interaction going on now, but... I really enjoyed this show. I mean, this is a really democratic show. I mean, it's open to anybody. You know, you don't have to be rich, famous, have a Hollywood agent, or live out in L.A.
Or be a certain age, or have a certain look.
Exactly. If you could be standing in your bedroom in front of the mirror with a hairbrush singing, and your mom walks by and says, hey, you're pretty good, by gosh, you come on down and give it a shot. It's like the old, when I was a kid, we had the Ted Mack original amateur hour, and then the Ed Sullivan show. It's all kinds of, I mean, it's a variety show.
Well, it's America's Got Talent. It's not America Can Be a Pop Singer, which is the other show. And I'm curious now, how do you personally define, because you've had so many careers, you've done so many things, and yet people will say, well, all he does is this, or all he does is that. Even yourself, you're very self-deprecating.
Yeah.
How do you define the word talent in your mind, Jerry Springer?
It's probably the ability to do something that better than other people can do, or to do something that other people can't do.
Easily or with hard work?
Well, no, there has to be an instinct for it. That's what the talent is. But you have to work at it to refine it and make it either entertaining or productive. I think the title of the show should be America's Got Talent, just has no taste.
Careful. Some of them already have copyrighted that.
But it's a totally fun show. I mean, it's, you know, most shows you do, there's some drama. In other words, there's some negativity to it. People are either arguing with each other, fighting with each other, whatever, disagreeing. On this show, it's all happy. You know, and even the contestants, they're doing their very best, but they're not competitive with each other. They're not, you know, they're not sitting there in the audience and hoping the next act does really badly.
You had that cute 11-year-old girl who could sing her butt off a couple of episodes ago, and I don't know whatever happened to her. She's probably doing
fantastic.
Signed
a record deal, I believe.
The
one who won last year.
Yeah.
She won last year, the 11-year-old. The one that... But this year, there's a 14-year-old.
Okay, I was going to ask you, who's the amazing child star this year?
Well, there are about three or four that I can see winning the $1 million, going all the way. And all of them made it into the top 10. I think this 14-year-old girl will be one of them that's in the final contention. That's my guess.
Jerry, I'm watching shows like Last Comic Standing, and I'm watching shows like The Next Best Thing. And these are shows, be the comedians or impressionists, that are using working professionals in their ranks. I mean, I watched the guy on Last Comic Standing last year, Arch Barker. He's got 14 years on the stage. He's been touring and getting paid as a comedian forever.
Yeah.
But he's in this competition. Does your show have an amateur-only status, kind of a cap? Because I don't see any kind of ringers.
Spike's kind of turned off by someone who's already getting paid to be it, being tapped to be on the show.
You know, I mean, I don't think anyone goes through an FBI check here, but there are no obvious, you know, lifelong professionals. It would be the only answer I could give, because that's the only answer I know. You know, I haven't checked into these, but there's no one that people call in and say, oh, yeah, I see them every week, you know.
Vegas.
Yeah, because they got one of those Barbra Streisand impressions, and I think it's unfair to the people who are just doing, you know, Edgar R. Murray or whomever in front of their mirror, and here comes this lady who had three nose jobs to look more like Barbra. And it's weird because they're adding every time, but, you know, it just seems like an unfair playing field.
Yeah, well, it's I guess it's just, well, it's like in golf, the Open, or in tennis. You have professionals and you have amateurs, and it's just open to anyone to give it a shot. Some people are so talented, they just don't make their living doing this.
Right.
So I guess that must be the justification for it, but the answer to your question is I really don't know the background of all these people, but it doesn't seem to me that, you know, there's certainly no famous people on the show.
Looking at your background, Jerry, you were the mayor of a large metropolitan city, the mayor of Cincinnati.
Right.
If you had not ever walked into WEBN radio and had the broadcasting bug kind of bite you when you went in there to do commentary so many years ago, how do you think your life would be different? Do you think you would have stayed in politics, and would you be our president or something right now?
Well, I couldn't be that because I was born in England. In fact, I left England when I found out I couldn't be king.
That's right. You moved to Queens at, like, age 4 or 5 or something?
Yeah, we came to America on the Queen Mary when I was 5.
Wow.
And, I grew up in New York. And then, went to law school and graduated law school at Northwestern University in Chicago. And, yeah, and then it's been a wonderful life. Honestly, I've been so lucky. I mean, I can't explain it. I don't know why it happens. There are so many people far more talented than I am. I just got lucky.
International MC, TV personality, movie star, Broadway actor, talk radio broadcaster. Of all the things you've done, a lot of political pundit, also another one. What is, if you had to pick only one of those things, would it be standing up, hosting a show like America's Got Talent on TV?
No, the best job I ever had probably was being mayor.
Mayor?
I mean, politics is my passion. So that's what I really care about, but I didn't want to make a living at politics. You know, I think that's like religion. That's something you just believe in, and you do, you know, when you pick your time to do it, but you don't do it to make money. You don't do it to make a living. So I always knew my occupation would be outside of politics, and it turned out to be show business. And
politics more.
But it's not my passion.
All right. My passion, then. Handicap the 2008 presidential race at this stage of the game for us, if you could.
Well, you know, in the real world, news happens every day, so anything could change.
Sure.
I think if the election were held today, my guess is Hillary would be president.
Wow.
But it's not held today, so, you know, it would be her running against Rudy, and in the end, she'd probably win. But that's today, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen, what event in the world happens, what happens in their lives. So it's almost foolish to try to, you know, predict and realize it's going to be nothing more than a guess.
Then, unless there's a swimsuit competition, then I think Rudy kicks her ass. I really do.
You're a lonely man.
Your talk show, The Jerry Springer Show, was immensely popular, but it's the kind of show not too many people really want to admit that they're a huge fan of, especially prominent people. I was wondering if there were any, like, major stars that want to come and sit in on your audience there to experience it, but they want to do so under the agreement that they will not be shown on camera, or they get to wear.
Oh, we get that a lot, yeah. I mean, we get people coming in and says, please, can I not be, you know, so they may be standing off on the side or, you know, wearing a hat or something. Yeah, you don't want to be caught there. I don't want to be caught there.
But you have to be. It's called the Jerry Springer Show.
In the back.
Jerry, you are arguably one of the most famous people in the country. And I'm wondering, how do you feel about the image that you have? Do you wish that people took you a little more seriously?
Well, I think it probably turned around with Dancing with the Stars. You know, all of a sudden I became mainstream, and yet I've been the same person, you know, my whole life. But really, with Dancing with the Stars, I think that probably was the first time people had ever seen me as myself, because whenever I'm on television, I'm always playing a role, either crazy talk show host or news anchor or whatever. So this that really was the first time it was just me. And of course, that led then to NBC giving me a primetime show and America's Got Talent. So it's, you know, when you're in show business, you play a role. And my break came when I didn't have to play one.
Jerry Springer, at home in Florida, do you love Florida? And what would people be surprised to know that you do quietly as a little hobby or something? Maybe you have a pet rock. I don't know. What would you have at your home that would be a sort of an insight into your quiet time?
I'm pretty normal, which would shock people.
Sure.
You know, my taste, I love the Yankees, and I've been mayor of Cincinnati. Maybe that would surprise people, but I live a very normal life. I have a wonderful family, and I play golf. I do, I love sports, and just totally. I think I'm a normal schlub that happens to get lucky.
Jerry Springer, Jerry, good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot. Take it easy.
Got a Dear Flabby letter this morning from Ned. Ned is 45 years old. Doesn't say exactly what he does,
okay,
but he writes with a, I think it's a time-honored trouble that a lot of guys have had. Let's see if we can help him.
Okay.
Dear Flabby, for some reason my wife has always felt threatened by other women. And lately, it's my secretary. My wife always talks about how beautiful she is and says she's always flirting with me. Once in a while, my secretary and I go to lunch to talk about business. Yes, she is attractive, I'll get that out of the way, and she is very nice, but I would never do anything to cheat on my beloved wife. Our lunches are strictly meals and business.
They never last more than 1 hour. They throw us out of the room.
The thing is, let him finish, please.
Eight words a minute. Those kind of skills are rare and hard to find.
Let me finish. All right. The thing is, I feel sort of guilty because I don't tell my wife about these little lunch dates. I feel like I'm hiding them from her, but for her own good.
Oh, boy.
I think she'd just be angry if she knew that I ever went out to lunch with my secretary. Am I doing something wrong? Should I have the cojones to stand up to her and say, I have occasional business lunches? Or is it better to just
keep digging? Oh, I don't know.
Not bother her with this trivial detail.
This is straight out of Cosmo magazine.
I know, it really is. It's a time-honored trouble that men have always had.
Guys don't learn.
Well, if it is really a time-honored trouble that men have had, I would like to hear from men and women who've sat at these lunches.
Okay.
The guy who takes someone, a coworker, female coworker, out to lunch, or the gal who has lunch with a boss. Does it have to be a boss, by the way, to be of concern, or any coworker?
Anyone. Anyone.
If you have a one-on-one, and a one-on-one is real key. By the way,
right.
I don't. I have this sort of jealous type of wife a little bit. You know her.
Mm-hmm.
She has nothing to be jealous about. I say it doesn't matter how many thousands of times I say that, though.
Right.
And but I just wouldn't anyway. To me, if a business lunch is going to take place, it's usually more productive with several people from a department. So that's the way I always deal with it.
See, if John came to me and said, hey, I had lunch with my female coworker today, I wouldn't think twice about it. But if I found out by someone else, oh, I saw John lunching with this girl, and I've seen them out like once a month for the last 6 months.
Right.
You'd
I'd
freak
say,
too.
What? Yeah.
But, honey, she's the funniest stripper you ever met. She's funny. She does improv.
Because the fact that he wouldn't say anything would make me suspicious.
Well, don't go all the way to the stripper thing.
I'm just saying.
We're just talking about a coworker.
I know, but...
And unless you happen to work at...
At Rick's. You know, those girls are funny.
For me, it definitely, from now on, will be to disclose my lunches.
So would you say it first? Would you just not do it? And if you have these lunches, are you doing anything wrong? You know, I have to sort of take Ned's side in a sense. If he's being honest, he's not doing anything wrong.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes you can be right and still cause grief in your life. In fact,
and pain.
In fact, the world is littered with people who said, but I was right. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter.
All the way out the door.
By not disclosing lunches has caused me big grief very recently. My wife is no
I want to hear that story, but first I want to give the phone number. 800-252-1025. Is there anybody out there who's been in these lunches? I want to hear from jealous women. Are there jealous women listening? You know who you are.
That's all of us.
I don't think so. See, because you're...
It's common. I'll give you that.
All right, and it's also a matter of degree. There's some women who really couldn't handle... Like, I guarantee you that Eric's wife, Monique, would care less who he was having lunch with or
if
what their gender
from
was.
From her. That's when the jealousy comes out.
There's a difference. See, is hiding or is not mentioning it hiding?
Whoa, boy.
Who'd you have lunch today with, dear?
Yes, Eric.
Actually, GQ did an article about this a few months
ago. Of course, this is from all those magazines.
Well,
it's a common problem.
But it was the quote-unquote office wife syndrome, where it's common for men to have women that they relate to at work, but the key is you can't have an office wife unless you can tell your real wife about the office wife. If you can't talk about the office wife...
What do you mean, office wife? I don't understand that
term. A woman that you hang out with at work.
Yeah.
Coworker.
Yeah, exactly.
And they call it office wife?
They
sounds very dang...
Yeah,
I hate the terminology.
Well, that's why the article was interesting. Mm. But the thing is, if you have to hide anything from your real wife, then you need to get a new office wife.
Again, what is the definition of hide? I would like to know that, too. 1-800-252-1025.
You need a definition of hide?
Yeah. I mean, my wife literally, and I love her to death. You
under
know,
the desk.
She
That's
will
hide.
Literally, if she figures out anything that happened in my day that I didn't tell her about, she assumes I hid it from her. And I didn't.
Right.
You know, I just,
well,
God, if I came home and told her, first off, it's on the radio, so listen.
Right. It's all there for the
Well,
moment.
I missed that hour. You didn't tell me about it. You know this too, right? You have
I've
the same
got
sort
a
of
very
thing.
Similar story.
What happened to you?
Well, what happened? You may not have noticed because it's a small thing, but you haven't seen my cute little blue lunch pail for a couple weeks now.
Have you been cut off?
My super wife has gone on strike because of something similar, because I've had lunch with another woman.
Betty Crocker.
No. Actually, a coworker.
You had lunch with a coworker?
Yes.
Becky? You've always been hot for Becky.
No, not Becky.
Got it bad.
Got it bad for Becky.
It's nothing,
hot for Becky.
It's nothing like...
Oh, man.
It's nothing like that, and that's not...
A female coworker.
A female coworker.
Not your sister.
My sister.
Your sister?
Yeah.
Your wife is upset you had lunch with your sister?
Well,
he is from Mississippi, Bob.
He is from the South.
Away from her being
She's
bad.
Very threatening, isn't she? She's
no.
hot, by the way, your
no,
sister.
No, I know, but it's not that. No, what she's upset about is that she was preparing me lunches, and then she finds receipts... From, you know, lunches that I've gone out.
Which means you, like a hobbit, ate two lunches.
Well, yeah.
Double dipping.
It's not a...
And we don't mean double dip in the sense that this guy's wife.
Right. It's not the same situation this guy
at all.
Has.
No.
But she...
Office sister.
She doesn't like to hear about lunches, you know, or to not hear about lunches, even if they're innocent.
1-800-252-1025. Please call us if you're a jealous woman. I want to understand the jealous woman better. Give me some tips. First up, here's Connie. Connie, you're on.
Hi. I was just wanting to say that I think that I'm just wondering what the heck they would have to talk about at lunch that they couldn't talk about at work.
Well, all right, you sound like a jealous woman. That's not really the point. The point is, do you... The point.
You asked why they were jealous. This is why they're jealous.
The point is that that assumes something, asking that question.
Well... the point...
Why? I could turn that question around and say, what do you have against nourishment?
Oh, I... I have absolutely nothing against nourishment.
Well, what do you have against nourishment with a little discussion of business?
Well, I actually, you know what, for me, I have nothing against any of that because I'm not jealous at all. But what I'm wondering is if my wife was jealous or my husband was jealous, then my question would be, what would be so important about going to lunch with somebody and talking about business if it would interfere with my relationship? You know, I mean, I'm
right, but it doesn't interfere if she doesn't find out.
Wrong, but it's just like, why would I do that?
All right.
Maybe Ned's got one of those two-for-one coupons. He needs to take somebody along.
Here we have business trade, right? 1-800-252-1025, Rob in Covington.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good.
All right.
Yeah, I actually, thank you. I actually do the same thing myself because my wife tends to get upset if she found out I was out with another female for lunch and not taking her out, which is kind of weird. So I don't usually say anything about it.
You keep it quiet normally.
Well, and it's not because I'm doing anything wrong. It's just that, you know, she's at home, stay-home mom, which is kind of like she don't get to get out, and then I'm taking somebody else out to lunch.
Right. She's staying home with the kid, and you're enjoying a rare treat that is Applebee's that she can only dream of Applebee's.
We'll split the poo-poo platter.
You know, well, what are you going to do? You know, you don't want to go to lunch by yourself. And she
why not?
Why not?
Who are you going with?
Just a co-worker. I mean, I go with guys at lunch, too, but every now and then, you know, she's person that...
A hot little flagger from down the end of the block there, yeah.
And now, the women that you do have the quiet lunches with?
Uh-huh.
All above board, right? Now, no flirting.
No, not at all.
Nothing at all. And do you pay?
No, absolutely not. She pays her own way. I'm not taking her on a date. I'm just going to lunch with her.
Got it.
Is she hot?
Yeah.
Would you keep it from your wife if she wasn't hot?
Is she?
Yeah, it didn't matter if she's hot or not. I mean, I've even told her that this girl's kind of cute.
We often have to fix the street after she's walked on it, honey. Makes extra long days, but she's a solid citizen.
Hey, you know, when you're sitting there with a pretty lady at a table and people are looking, you're like, hey, you know, they think they're with you, but that's no big deal.
Is she a lot like the dessert tray? Nice to look at, but you're not going to order any today?
I wish I could order, but yeah. No.
Yeah.
He's honest.
I'm still a guy, you know.
Yeah. Is she also married or is she single?
No, she's single.
Sangle. He's sangle.
Oh, I know. That puts a little extra on it, but...
That's a little extra zing.
1-800-252-1025. You just heard Rob, ladies. Here's Erica in Kent. Hi, Erica.
Hello.
You're on.
I was going to say that as the female going out to lunch with men... I've been the only one in the office or in the workplace that's been available to go to lunch with. And, if we take lunches at separate times of the day, you don't want to go by yourself. And also, if my husband goes to lunch with somebody, I think I would be jealous if I didn't get invited to go along because oftentimes we go to lunch together, and if he goes somewhere without me, I would mostly just feel left out.
Left
I
out.
I wouldn't be suspicious of what were they up to.
All right. So it's would you say disclosure is very, very important?
I would say depending on how often it's happening. Say if you're, I would say, oh, you went out to lunch with somebody, you know, the second or third time again today, you know, let me know. Oh, we went out to lunch again today, and... I think that keeping it a secret is more important than actually going out to lunch with somebody with the opposite sex.
You mean more dangerous, more of a...
Yeah, okay. I would just be more suspicious that, you know, sure, it could be innocent, but it would still make me feel bad that you're doing something, you know, repetitively and not letting me know about it.
How old are you, Erica?
Me? I'm 26.
26. And Darianne, you're on. Darianne, go ahead. Darianne?
No, Darlene.
Oh, Darlene, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I can't believe that Rob guy. Would he like it if his wife was fixing lunch for a cute gardener just because she didn't want to bother her husband? Mm.
He takes his shirt off because the salsa often drips and stains his shirt, honey. Nothing sexual.
No, I got the sense from him that it would not go both ways.
Yeah, she's smoking hot, so what? I like when people think I'm doing her, but I'm not. I would if I could, but I'm not.
But he's not telling his wife. That's just a red flag right there.
All right. Judy in Marysville, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're being a little unfair to women because I think men are just as jealous as women are.
Good point.
I am not a jealous person at all, but my husband is.
Oh.
And I work at a corporate office, and he doesn't trust, I don't know if it's me or the boss. So, and he knows my boss, so I just don't understand that kind of
thing. They know each other, and yet he still thinks that your boss has man instincts towards you.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask something. If your husband was angry or offended, would you do it and not tell him because it would hurt his feelings, or would you not do it?
Not do it.
That's the right answer.
Obey. It's right there in the document.
It's not obey. If you say you're keeping it from her to protect her from hurt feelings, that's the wrong. No, the way you protect her from hurt feelings is don't do something that hurts her feelings.
How much one-on-one time do you spend with your boss?
Well, 8 hours because I'm his assistant.
Yeah, you guys go play racquetball and then shower together at the end of the day?
Oh no.
Okay,
nothing like that. You are attractive though, I can tell.
Yes, and I've just lost 20 pounds, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, baby. How'd that raise?
Do me a favor. Do not ever respond to that with how much weight you've just lost. It's not. We're on a need to know basis.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Congratulations.
You did it by not eating at lunch.
George.
Yes. Hi.
You're on.
How you doing?
Good, George. Go ahead.
Yes, I believe that he will lose the wife. Eventually, this is going to become a very large problem at home. He either has to get rid of the secretary and let the wife know that's the reason why he's doing it.
Or he has to get rid of her.
Yeah.
All they're doing is eating, George. They're taking an hour out to eat. It's better to eat with somebody. It's better for your digestion. You don't eat as fast when you have somebody to talk to.
Is that what you're
talking
about?
It's a health concern.
Yeah.
Really?
No. She will not understand this.
She will not understand.
George is a man who knows what he's talking about.
All right, George. No one has answered my question.
I fire her
which is,
for you, baby. She has no way to feed her family. Her children must starve because I love you.
What about just telling her, hey, I'm doing this, and letting her own reaction as long as you have integrity?
No, if she's jealous about the woman, she will not understand. I've been having to eat on my own without my wife, the secretary, and the business I had.
Nice.
I lost all of it.
Oh, man. Oh. Women have smaller brains. They will not be able to understand.
No, they will not understand. When they are jealous, they are jealous, and they understand that time, your attention, it only belongs to them, and that is it.
Thank you, George. Good
He's
luck
right,
in your
man.
Future relationships.
He's right.
Jenny, you have the last word. Jenny, go ahead.
All right. Is this Bob?
Yeah.
Hi, Bob and everybody. I'm a big fan. My point is there's a lot of single women out there that are vixens, and they are just ready to flirt with your man or anybody else's man, and sometimes men aren't aware that they're being flirted with.
Oh, men are aware.
No, we're not. We're
Why is she showing me her cleavage?
We don't know nothing.
What does viper mean, honey?
Vexen.
I know. Vixen, viper, same beast.
Right. Temptress. Women out there on the make, and they don't, they're just out to get whoever. It's like a game or something. I don't know.
Just because you see something on movie or in the movies or on TV doesn't mean that it's true. A lot of people learn a lot because they consume movies and television. I think you would say that Spike frequently quotes things that he saw on a movie.
Life's lessons can be taught in the cinema, sure.
Even interesting information about how the FBI works or how to rob a bank, all of these sorts of things. It can be a trap for a criminal. Sometimes a movie or television show will be criticized because they say, this helps the enemy.
CSI is famous because of that.
This helps the bad guy.
Yep. Yeah. How to clear your tracks up and not leave any trace behind. You see that movie Inside Man about how to rob a bank? That's brilliant. It's a matter of time till somebody uses that exact method to rob a bank.
That was a great movie. Did you see it?
Yeah,
you saw it, Joe?
Piece of work.
What's it called?
Inside Man. Great bank robbery movie. You can't figure out how they did it, but
It is brilliant.
They don't tell you how they did it?
Oh, in the end they do.
Okay.
The end,
yeah, but yeah. You watch this going, this is absolutely brilliant.
Is it a documentary or a...
No, it's fiction.
Oh, I'll have to...
Denzel Washington, Jodie Foster, the guy who plays the bank robber, I forget his name, he was King Arthur.
Clive Owen.
Awesome.
Love him.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, be careful, because just because you saw something on the movies work for a criminal might not work for you. Clinton, Maine. Do you know where that is? Been through Clinton, Maine.
Clinton, Maine.
It's sort of, yeah, it's sort of south central. It's kind of like nowhere in Maine. It's not.
As opposed to.
Kennebunkport, which is very famous, right. Or Bar Harbor, which is like our San Juans.
Portland is the capital of Maine?
Portland is the capital, southern coast of Maine.
Okay.
Clinton, Maine's just a, I think it's in the center. Been there?
By the way, Augusta is the capital of Maine.
Augusta?
Is that right?
Not Portland?
Oh, whatever.
Whatever.
Augusta, Portland.
I took a roll of the dice there.
Well, a lot of people would think that Seattle would be the capital of Washington, and then they would find out it's someplace called Olympia. Okay. Clinton, Maine, 18-year-old Brittany Blow.
Okay.
Her real name.
Not just her theater name.
That's her real name.
There's a huge career in store.
No, and it's spelled just, it's just not like B-L-E-A-U either.
Just like you want it to be spelled.
Spelled like you want it.
Yeah.
18-year-old Brittany Blow of Clinton, Maine, and a 17-year-old whose name was not released.
Because it was embarrassing.
Last name was Hard. tried to break into a tattoo and piercing parlor called Custom Color Creations. So these 18 and 7-year-old are breaking it. What would you steal at a tattoo and piercing? Like, would you steal those little knobs so you could poke them through yourselves?
Yeah, save some money.
Oh, piercings, yeah, navel
pierce
jewelry.
Your own belly button.
Oh, cash. Don't they have cash inside?
Not enough to make it worth breaking and entering.
Yeah. I think what they wanted was something specific.
Okay, we're going to get to it in the story here. Anyway, so they break into a tattoo and piercing parlor.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it had an alarm system.
Okay.
They knew the alarm system would get set off if they tripped the infrared laser beam. They knew it had laser beams. So they decided to use a trick they saw in Charlie's Angels.
The whole mirror thing?
No, they sprayed hairspray around so they could see where the infrared laser beam.
Smart?
It's actually not that smart.
Oh,
Charlie's Angels isn't real life. When they sprayed hairspray on the infrared beam, it set it off.
Nice. Nice. I didn't know it did that.
No, because you learned everything you know about infrared laser beams
from
James
movies,
Bond
James
and Charlie's
Bond,
Angels.
Sure, that's right.
Now, didn't they do this in James Bond, too? What was the one with
so many movies?
Well, the one with the old guy.
Oh, Entrapment with the
Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Thank you, Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Man,
and somehow they lit up all the laser beams.
Right, fog,
and she
smoke.
Had to practice her gymnastic
moves.
That's
what won her Michael Douglas's heart was that scene.
I
right
think
there,
so.
Baby. Mm-hmm. You bet.
Now, to find out after all these years,
doesn't work.
That was a hoax.
Yeah. You feel a little out of the loop, don't you?
Well, you know, you think you watch and you learn.
Anyway, unfortunately for them, when you spray hairspray on an infrared beam, it sets it off. They ran, but the cops got there quickly and arrested both of them. Both were charged with felony burglary. And here's the part that Joe was going to tell you. They told the cops they were planning on stealing some jewelry to put in their body piercings. They also admitted that they got the hairspray, that whole idea, from the movie Charlie's Angels.
I learned very early in life not to get ideas from watching TV and movies.
Really?
Yeah, I almost killed myself twice as a kid imitating what I saw on TV, so I learned, but I'm sure you probably could learn some good stuff, you know.
Or it might be fiction.
Yeah.
I got a scar right here. Watched Batman jump through a window, went over to the door and jumped through it.
Did you?
Swear to God, landed on the concrete.
You tried to copy what you saw.
Right here, man.
I've got two scars right here.
Doing your own home, My Favorite Martian.
My Favorite Martian. How did you know? I tried to stick antennas in my head. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have scars, too.
Where?
I don't know. I just wanted to be one of the group.
Oh, man.
I almost broke my back imitating Tojo Yamamoto, my favorite wrestler, when I was a kid.
You did a flop?
Yeah, you stood up. You know, I thought you could actually...
Pile drive.
Yeah.
Nice.
Doesn't work.
Anybody out there try to imitate something they saw on TV?
And this was before Jackass became popular.
Yeah, please don't say
Roadrunner. Or being an idiot, you know, actually made you a star in this country.
And there may be. You might learn some good things. Like you say, there are, you know, probably some good lessons that are learned.
Hey, you know, get bit by a snake, have somebody suck out the poison, spit it out. You probably
anybody out there try to suck out the poison? Does that work, by the way, Eric, sucking out the poison?
No, it doesn't work.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's a myth.
Now, I've seen tourniquets on movies. That works. Cuts the blood flow to the bleeding area, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they do, but I still don't recommend them.
Anybody?
Well, better than not putting a tourniquet on, isn't it? It ain't the end-all, be-all medical treatment.
Eric doesn't recommend tourniquets. That's
really?
It's a real thing they taught me in Boy Scouts, not just TV. 1-800-252-1025. Anybody out there try something they saw on TV with bad results or maybe good results? Wayne in Seattle, something you learned on TV. Go ahead.
Well, it wasn't me. It was my brother. We all were standing around out in the backyard when he did this. He got an umbrella after watching Mary Poppins and jumped off the roof, and
my dad did the same. He broke one leg.
Yeah,
he jumped from the second floor.
Your dad did this?
I swear.
He didn't die, did he?
No, he broke one leg.
And how was the brother?
Oh, he's fine. This was years ago when we were all kids.
My brother is 40 and runs a large manufacturing firm, and he saw Mary Poppins and ran outside.
Right.
I knew it was years ago.
That was about it.
Thank you.
Damn.
1-800-252-1025. Movies or television moved you to try something. Rich in Tacoma, hello.
Yeah, hi.
You're on.
Yeah, I thought maybe, you know, by chewing gum like Aqua Boy, I could breathe underwater.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, he's still here.
He just drowned.
Hello.
Dude, still chewing gum.
Wow.
1-800-252-1025. Mike is screening these.
Aqua Boy's not that old, is it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that was 70s, 60s, if not 70s. Mm.
Jake in Lake Stevens. Hello, Jake.
Hello there.
Go ahead.
Well, I was about 9 years old growing up in Anacortes, and I can't remember if it was Evel Knievel or who, but they were jumping motorcycles, so I thought with my bike I would build this beautiful ramp and jump over my mom and dad's car. The ramp broke. I ended up in the back of the car about 10 minutes later. I still have the scar on my chin and my hand to prove it. So
now,
don't try that at home, I guess.
Now, you know how whenever some crime happens and they say they were influenced by a movie or something, they always say you shouldn't show this stuff?
Right.
Yep.
Do you blame in any way, shape, or form the TV show, or is it just Darwinism at work and it's all your own fault?
It was all my own fault. This was in the late 60s, so it was just something stupid. But it sure was fun at the time till about the last 5 seconds. So. my mom is still alive at 88 and still brings it up once in a while. It's actually kind of humorous when we talk about it now. But, yeah, it hurt like heck back then.
All right, Jake. Dusty in Puyallup. Go ahead, Dusty.
Yeah, I saw in the cartoon once that if you strap rockets to your roller skates, you go really fast. So that's what
sure
I did.
What'd you strap?
It was around the 4th of July, and we just had a bunch of those rockets with the long sticks.
Yeah, you go, Wiley.
I just broke the sticks off, fused them all together, and tried lighting them. And
oh, my God.
Took off and burnt my legs good.
Ouch.
More finger boy.
People really young, I think. You've
got to be pretty impressionable.
Michael in Bothell. Hello, Michael.
Hi. I was at my friend's house one time, and he lives on a farm in Snohomish, and he has a bunch of cows, so I told him, why don't we do that thing we saw in Jackass when you brand your butt. And so,
right, I didn't see any of the Jackass movies. I'm so sorry. I'm culturally deprived.
No,
but
you're not.
What did they do on Jackass here?
They branded someone's butt with
a branding iron.
A real branding iron on someone's butt?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But this guy, it was just like a letter A or something. And so we did it to him, and he just started screaming, and then he had the door off.
What did you expect?
It's hot metal! That's how the Spanish got their Inquisition in on.
Because he had to go to the emergency room, so. You
thought he'd be real quiet, like Sizzler.
That he would laugh and giggle.
All right, thank you. Wow, who knew there were so many of these? Robert is in Cedro Woolley. Robert, what did you try that you saw in movies or television?
Probably one of the dumbest things I ever did in my life, although I've done a few dumb things. Mary Poppins, the umbrella. Remember how she flew with the umbrella?
Yeah, we've already had one of those calls.
Second one, really?
They need to edit that scene out, I think.
Wow. In the new version, it's gone. No, it's still there.
The umbrella safe version of Mary Poppins, you need to buy that. Yes.
Anyway, hi, Bob.
Hi, Robert. So you jumped off the roof with an umbrella?
Broke both my ankles.
Oh. How old were you, bud?
9 years old.
Oh.
How big was the house?
My parents were not very happy.
Were they mad at you, or were they mad at Mary Poppins?
Well, they were a little disappointed I was that dumb. An umbrella does fold up when you jump off a garage roof.
It folds up top-wise, yeah. Well, that's because you don't have the extra strength umbrella that Mary Poppins had.
Well, that's the movies for you. But when I saw Mary Poppins, I thought, okay, this is a good
That movie. Sounds like fun.
Old man called you a supercalifragilistic douchebag.
So, absolutely. Eric, look up Mary Poppins umbrella accidents on Google.
I smell a class loss.
Well, no, what I'm you know, if that movie came out today, it would have been quickly deemed irresponsible.
Well, there's a movie called Practical
Dangerous.
Magic.
Yes.
A movie that was filmed up here at Friday Harbor with what's her name? Nicole Kidman and...
I remember that movie, yeah.
The
Did people copy that movie?
Well, at the end of it, the four witches jump off the roof holding umbrellas. And that was made 8 years ago.
1-800-252-1025. You just tuned in. Two girls tried to rob a store. They tried to use hairspray to find the infrared alarm beam, and the hairspray actually sets off the beam. So what you saw in the movie Charlie's Angels doesn't work. Yeah. Eric?
And I need to point out that you can't see infrared anyway, because there's absolutely no light. It's not the same as a laser beam.
When we come back, more of you, the lines are jamming. Mike Jones will review. Just because you saw it on TV or movies doesn't believe it works. Right after this.
Some people laugh through their noses, sounding something like this. Dreadful.
Ooh. That's Mary Poppins. Who knew we had multiple listeners who saw Mary Poppins and jumped off the roof with an umbrella?
Three people in 10 minutes, and they're all guys. I mean, no girls are doing it. It's all guys.
1-800-252-1025. Just tuned in. What did you see on TV and shouldn't have tried at home or the movies? Up next is Pat in Bothell. Hello, Pat.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Okay.
Long time listener here. Hey, I was about 8 years old. I was a real light kid, real light, and this actually involved both my brothers and my father. And they were like, hey, let's see if we can build some wings and fly, make them fly. And I was like maybe like 70 pounds. And sure enough, they put me on my bike, and where we lived in upstate New York, I had this long hill down towards a river, and built a ramp down at the bottom. The thing was, is that, all right, I'd go down the hill. If I flew, okay, I wouldn't fly that far. I'd land in the water, everything be okay. Except I flew just a little bit too far and came down there and gained air, and sure enough, I flew all the way across this stream right there into a tree on the other side. Broke my collarbone, broke my right arm.
Wait a minute, I was gonna think you fell off the bike and you never got airborne, but they built good enough wings that you got airborne?
Oh yeah, yeah. My dad was involved in it and everything.
Oh,
your mom must have been just pissed.
Actually, she wasn't.
Was this like after seeing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or some Disney inventor
Wright
movie?
Brothers, yeah.
Oh, you know, and then that one right there, and then I had another stupid one right there where I took. I don't know if you know a lot about the fireworks, the M-80s.
Yeah.
We took me and my friend took about 25 M-80, probably more than that. Taped them all together and buried them in the ground a little bit and lit them. And when it blew up right there, I took out about 15 windows in all the houses around mine because of the little rocks in the ground.
All right. Thank you, Pat. I know you could go all day, but there are other people. That's right. Good job. Chris is in Chehalis. Chris, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
All right. As seen on TV or movies?
Cartoons.
Cartoons?
Yeah.
Okay. What was it?
We were sitting on the balcony of my parents' room, and my brother
pushed me off the balcony, second floor balcony, to see if I would bounce like Wile E. Coyote did in the cartoons.
Basic.
You didn't have your spring shoes on. I mean, come on, what's he
How
thinking?
How old were you at the time?
I was about 4.
Well, I'm glad you're still here.
Me too.
More importantly, how old was your brother?
30.
Yeah, 44.
Dude,
yeah.
How much did you break?
My collarbone, a couple of ribs, and my hip.
Mm.
I still curse at him to this day.
Thank you, Chris.
Awkward family reunion.
Now, does this mean that it's irresponsible to show children stuff like this without sitting next to them? I'm going to give you the Today's Politically Correct Society debate about this. Should you watch Wile E. Coyote with your 4-year-old and say, all right, now, listen.
You know, if you feed your little brother metal pellets and then hold a big magnet, you won't be able to pull him across the room. You know that, right?
You know it's just
you
a cartoon.
That, sure.
Dane is on Mercer Island. Hello, Dane.
Hi.
Go ahead. What did you do that you saw on TV or a movie?
Well, me and my buddies, we used to watch wrestling a lot. So we actually formed our own wrestling federation. It was the HWF.
HWS?
Household Wrestling Federation. And we had all the WWF belts, and we'd pass them around from who won and who lost, and backyard brawls. A buddy of mine had a giant trampoline with a net around it. We had cage matches, hit each other over the head with cookie sheets. That was awesome.
All in all, it sounds like this worked for you.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
No problem. He'd got the sort of
no
missed
teeth,
the whole.
But he's
clean
fine.
Yeah, good, clean fun.
As seen on TV and worked perfectly. Thank you, Dane. David in Normandy Park. Hello, David. David?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello?
You're on, David.
Oh, yeah. The Gillette Razor had a commercial back in the 60s, 70s about take it off, take it all off, and they played the stripper, and you shaved, or a person shaved to the sound of the stripper. So
I remember that commercial very well.
Yeah. I tried that one time.
It was about how amazing you could strip off a man's beard, and they wanted to turn men on with the whole idea that maybe their wife would do it or something.
But you don't notice how much you're bleeding through the shaving cream when you're shaving immediately, but then when you finally get down to your skin. I probably had half a dozen good lacerations in my face.
How old were you?
Yeah.
How old?
Oh, I was, I'd say 20.
Oh.
Right there.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to get the mistake part of this.
Now, did you try to turn on your woman by shaving all sexy and strip shaving?
Oh, no. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't even think she was there at the time, because it was pretty silly, but,
But you danced to that same song and tried to recreate the commercial?
No, I didn't dance. I just shaved to that song.
To the song.
Shaved my face to that song.
And you got into it so much you cut yourself numerous times.
Oh, yeah, without even knowing.
Oh, that's right. It was a big jerky motion.
You just hacking your throat up?
Yep, pretty much.
Were you drunk or stoned at this point in time?
No, but it was pretty early in the morning, you know.
But did you feel sexy while you were doing that? Did you feel like...
I did.
Huh?
I feel...
Yeah. Thank you, David. Jim is in Bellevue. Jim, as seen on TV or in the movies, what did you attempt?
It was on TV. This is probably 40 years ago. I was about 8 years old, and it was the old Three Stooges. And my sister had a tooth that was loose, so we tied the old string around it and slammed the door, and that didn't work. So then we got out the pliers and got her out that way.
Oh, man, this brings back memory. I did this too.
Dick Cheney's calling you to forgive me.
You pulled pliers out of your sister's mouth, or pulled tooth out of your sister's mouth with a pair of pliers?
Sure.
Did you?
The pliers worked, right?
Yes, they did.
Oh, jeez.
It was loose, so you didn't, like, loosen one just for
No, it was already, it was just hanging there, and basically it was just an easier way to get it out.
That actually wasn't uncommon. My wife Monique and all of her sisters and brothers had that done by their mother.
After seeing the Three Stooges?
No.
Devout fan.
Devout Stooges fans in the Corman household. Thank you, Jim. Tom is in Tacoma. What did you do as influenced by TV or movies?
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, when I was about 10 or 11, I thought I could be a stuntman and light myself on fire. And I took some lighter fluid and put it on my pants, did a couple test spots, was able to brush it right out.
That's smart. Test spots are good. Sure.
Yep.
Straight for the crotch after that.
Then I put on put lighter fluid all over my entire leg. Only that time I couldn't get it out.
And by the way, why were you doing this? Just bored on an afternoon? Or?
I just thought I could be a stuntman. I thought it was really cool to see...
Damn Lee Majors, the fall guy. Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly, to see...
You were practicing for professional stuntman auditions or something?
Right, exactly, and see if I could just roll it out.
But what they don't show you on the stuntmen is there's all kinds of guys with fire extinguishers that run in there when the director
says, it's called a crew, safety crew.
Ended up with third-degree burns, so...
Ouch.
Not a smart thing.
Thank you, Tom. We're winding down.
That's exactly what we asked for.
I love this. Randy and Cedra Woolley was heavily influenced by Tarzan. What did you do?
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, when I was in the fifth grade, we used to have this rope hanging on the side of out of a big tree. And I would swing it out, and remember how Tarzan had run and grabbed, jump through the air and grab the rope.
You bet.
So I grabbed the rope and just barely caught the tail end of it, just enough by my fingertips, just enough to swing out all the way to the end and fall off right onto my head, onto the rocks. I wake up, and my buddy comes running down saying, "You okay? You okay?" And I go, "Yeah, my head kind of hurts." And I put my hand up there to feel my head, and then it was just filled with blood.
Blood everywhere.
And so I remember one time on Lassie. Now I'm really doing well here. Packed
now we're switching to Lassie midstream.
Yeah, and this
so
other
I
time?
Packed mud in it to stop the bleeding. And then I run all the way home, which is like a half a mile away. By the time I get home, I've got mud and blood and just freaking out. My mother's a nurse, luckily. And takes me in and stitches me up.
Question, did you do the right thing with the mud on the head? I'm very curious, because that was on
last. That wasn't a very good idea. The doctor said that wasn't a very good idea.
No.
Yeah, mud from the next one out.
Rub a bunch of dirt into that open wound. That's what it needs.
Why did Lassie tell you to do that?
Because she was a dog. An idiot.
That's a great story.
Lift yourself.
Thank you very much, Randy. All right, and we're going to close out with Laura. Laura is in Sammamish. Hello, Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
All right. What did you do?
Well, it's the John Wayne movie where he's up in the tree and the horse is down below.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking I'm up in my tree fort, I was raised in Gig Harbor, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I can do that.
You mean
and
that John Wayne used to jump from the tree onto, in fact, a moving horse, didn't he?
Right.
Okay.
But mine wasn't moving until I started coming down.
Oh, no.
And I broke my arm.
What did you do?
Broke your arm?
Oh.
Yeah.
But the horse was unharmed?
Oh, he didn't get hit. Actually, it was a she.
You missed the horse cleanly.